Hello and welcome to A History of the United States Membership Feed, Episode 1, Aztec 101. I'd like to begin this series firstly by saying thank you. Thank you for buying this. This podcast could not exist without your patronage. So, just what have you bought? While the free feed will cover the basic narrative, this is going to be a feed which can get into the extras. This podcast will be released every 2 weeks, and should, I hope, be rather enjoyable. While it's all well and good saying that this feed is going to be all the extra stuff, at the moment in the main feed we've just created the colony at Jamestown. We're still over 150 years away from the United States being founded, so we'll have to be a bit creative with what we cover. What I'd like this opening series of episodes to be is the founding of New Spain, which, in the free feed, we haven't really given much attention to other than setting up the Spanish in Florida and a cursory mention of Columbus. They play a pretty important part in the story, but this isn't part of the traditional narrative. Perfect membership feed stuff. Now, before we get on to the conquistadors, there was a powerful, sophisticated civilization already in existence of equal splendor than the one which replaced it. The Aztecs. This is where we start our membership story. I shall begin by saying that use of the word Aztec is technically not accurate. According to legendary tradition, the Aztecs originated from Aztlan, an island in a lake. From there, they migrated to the Valley of Mexico, in which they would settle what would become Mexico City. Their language was Nahuatl, and in Nahuatl, they called themselves the Azteca, or the Aztlaneca. Their patron deity, Huitzilopochtli, decided that they should migrate to the Valley of Mexico and renamed them the Mexica, from which we get the word Mexico. From that point onwards, they referred to themselves either as Tenoca Mexica or Tlatelolco Mexica, depending on which bit of their capital, Tenochtitlan, they lived in. Mexica was though a more general name, and it is used on its own and by other groups not living in Tenochtitlan. Aztec was formed from Azteca by Alexander von Humboldt in his Dues des Cordilleras in the early 1800s, and William Prescott used the term in his Conquest of Mexico, which was published in 1843. The Mexica had been relatively unknown, but Prescott's book captured the popular imagination and brought their story to life. It is due to Prescott that their civilization has been downplayed as they get reduced to the cliché of the noble savage, and while it can't be ignored, the human sacrifice and cannibalism have managed to distract from everything else. This is why they're known as the Aztecs rather than the Mexica. I'm going to be sticking with the term Aztecs as I'm more familiar with it, and I suspect you are as well, plus it's one of the few Nahuatl words I know how to pronounce. I'm really sorry if I'm completely butchering the pronunciation. I'm trying my best. The early history of Mexico is debated, but I feel like I'm safe in saying that at some point between 25,000 BC and 6,000 BC, humans began living there. A more complex civilization began to develop around 1500 BC in the rainforests of the Yucatan Peninsula by a group I'm sure you've heard of, the Maya. A trading network began to develop, and Mayan culture spread with it, coming to dominate most of modern Mesoamerica. The story of how the Yucatan Peninsula got its name is pretty brilliant, so I'm just going to throw it in here. It's quite debated, but this is the version Cortés reports in his letters to the Holy Roman Emperor. He said that one of his men asked a local what the name of the area was, and the locum replied, Ciutan, which the Spaniard took as Yucatan. However, Ciutan is actually Mayan for I don't understand you. That is just brilliant. Anyway, the other early dominant cultural force were the Olmec, inhabitants of South Mexico around the current state of Veracruz. Very little is known about the Olmec, other than they created giant heads. the kind Mr. Burns gives to Bart in The Simpsons. The Olmec began to decline around 400 BC, and from about 200 BC, the civilization centered on Teotihuacan in central Mexico, about 30 miles to the east of Mexico City, rose in prominence. At its peak, around 200 AD, the city was home to 150,000 people. It would be foolish to dismiss pre-Columbian civilization as primitive. This was a very impressive city. I really would recommend looking at pictures of the ruins of Teotihuacan. The Avenue of the Dead, the Pyramid of the Sun and Moon are breathtaking. The Aztecs certainly thought so, and they copied much of the city's design when constructing Tenochtitlan. There were also religious links. The most famous Aztec god, Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent, was worshipped at Teotihuacan. The city also had connections with the Aztec creation myth, the legend of the five suns. It's a pretty good story, so I'll include it here. There was originally nothing, just emptiness. Then the jewel god, Ometehuitli / Omesihuatl, created itself. It was both goodness and evil, order and chaos, male and female, and had four children. Xipe-Totec, Tezcatlipoca, Quetzalcoatl, and Huitzilopochtli. These four gods created the world, including a sea monster which would eat everything else. The gods destroyed this sea monster, which then became the universe as we know it. The only thing left to create was an energy source, a sun. Now, as we all know, the only way to create a sun is to sacrifice a god. Tezcatlipoca was chosen, but only managed to become half a sun. The first age was incomplete. Giants were created, but a fight began between Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca, in which the sun was knocked from the sky, and Tezcatlipoca killed all the giants with jaguars. The first age lasted 4,008 years. Quetzalcoatl took over as the second sun, and in this age, humans were created. But the people became corrupt, and so Quetzalcoatl blew them away with a hurricane. But they grabbed hold of the trees and the wind, and Tezcatlipoca turned them into monkeys, but two survived by standing on a rock. This ended the second age, which lasted 4,010 years. Tlaloc, the rain god, became the sun for the third age. Tezcatlipoca stole Tlaloc's wife, enraging Tlaloc, who withheld rain, before making it rain fire, burning away the world. The third age lasted 4,081 years. Tlaloc's sister, Calchuchtute, became the sun for the fourth age. But Tezcatlipoca and Quetzalcoatl struck down the sun, and when she fell, the sky opened and flooded the world. As the world was dark and full of terrors, the gods gathered at Teotihuacan to decide who the fifth sun would be. Tecuzistecatl, a very proud god, decided that he should be the sun, but the other gods didn't want that and asked if there was anybody else. Eventually, they decided to pick Tanahuatzin, a modest god. He eagerly accepted, but right when he was about to jump into the ceremonial fire, because that's how you sacrifice a god, Tecuzistecatl jumped into the fire before him. Nanahuatzlin followed, and now there were two suns. That wasn't good. Things were far too bright. So the other gods threw a rabbit onto Tecuzistecatl, which made him dimmer, and he became the moon. Nanahuatzlin was too weak to move as a sun, so the gods gave blood to Nanahuatzlin to help him move across the sky. This is why the Aztecs performed human sacrifices. It was believed that this fifth age would be destroyed by earthquakes. The date the fifth age would end, the 21st of December, 2012. I should mention that this myth is highly debated. There are a lot of different versions out there. As the legend of the five suns has been collected from many accounts, that is just a version. They're broadly similar, but don't be surprised if you read a book and see a different version of the legend. This is a huge problem when dealing with the Aztecs and other pre-Columbian Mesoamerican cultures. It is impossible to work out just what people actually believed. In his book, The Aztec Empire, Nigel Davies makes the point that it is extremely difficult for the historian to work out definitive accounts of Aztec legends, myths, and history, because so much of the information is contradictory, and that some of the obvious solutions really don't work. When you get really into certain historical topics, and I mean at like postgraduate level, you begin to get a grasp of these problems. My speciality is Roman history, so I'd like to use that as an example which can then be transferred to Aztec history. It is often assumed, and you won't really find anything to the contrary unless you go very deep into the study of history, that the version of a text you read is what the author wrote. That simply isn't true. There are basic points to make, such as you're probably reading a source in translation rather than the original language. But even if you read a source in the original, you're not reading a true original. The original source was written thousands of years ago. This then gets copied and copied and copied and copied, and that is how information is preserved. The sources that survive are the ones which get copied, but these copies are not the original, and mistakes tend to creep in. So, by the modern era, there were numerous manuscripts of classical sources, but there were lots of different versions all saying different things. In order for a definitive version of a text to exist, it needs to be worked out which versions are the mistakes, and at what point in the tradition those mistakes worked their way in. A later copy may be from a purer tradition than an earlier one. Many traditions may have sprung up from a bad version of the text, and few from a good version. So time and plurality can't be used to work out what the original looked like. Many great minds put a lot of time and effort into making the versions of the texts that are read today. And there is a similar issue with Mesoamerican legend. We can't be sure what the real tradition is, which accounts came from bad traditions. This isn't terribly important for my account of the legend of the Five Sons, but it is something you should be aware of when dealing with Aztec history, and most history, in fact. There are other complications as well. Not only do Aztec sources have to be viewed through a 16th century Hispanic lens, but also that of the modern era. It can be difficult for modern historians to understand a society as dominated by religion as that of the Aztecs. I know I'm guilty of doing this. In the first episode of The Free Feed, I sort of mentioned that conversion was a motivation for the colonists of the New World, but I give much greater attention to material reasons, such as gold. It can be quite difficult to find a balance, but this has been quite a tangent, we should really get back to the history. Teotihuacan was the great city of central Mexico, but at some point in the 7th or 8th century, the civilization mysteriously collapsed. Some suspect it was due to overpopulation, others due to military conflict, but by 800, the powerful had abandoned Teotihuacan and the city was dead. From this point, though, we begin to move into firmer historical ground with the Toltec civilization within the Mexican basin. The Tolteca were the dominant force in central Mexico from 900 to 1100, and were regarded highly by the Aztecs, partly to do with their understanding of time. The Aztecs understood time to be cyclical, of which you get a sense from their creation story, of which they lived in the Fifth Age. This is reflected in their calendar, which dated things in 52-year cycles, which were called sheafs. Each sheaf was made up of four types of years: house, rabbit, reed, and flint, which each had 13 years. This creates difficulties when working within the Gregorian linear time frame. Events repeat themselves in cyclical time. When an event happens in cyclical time, it will happen again in the next cycle. It is something found in Indian, Chinese, and to some extent a little bit in ancient Greek thought, but it's completely alien to us. In this context, the Aztecs saw themselves as Tolteca in a new cycle. accurately dating events, particularly before the Aztecs settled in the Valley of Mexico, is very difficult. While we may know what year an event took place in, such as Nine Rabbit, it may not be clear which Nine Rabbit we're talking about. And to some extent, in the Aztec mind, it didn't matter. It was cyclical. An event could happen many times. So, who were these Tolteca? While the remnants of their capital, Tolanchicotitlan, are much less impressive than Teotihuacan, but at its height had a population of around 120,000, it also contained a temple to Quetzalcoatl, which was so magnificent the Aztecs were still raving about it when speaking to the Spanish missionaries who were preserving this information. It is likely because of the Tolteca that Quetzalcoatl is the most well-known Aztec god. Teotihuacan revered the rain god Tlaloc above all others, but Quetzalcoatl held that position in the Toltec mind. There is a version of the fifth sun legend in which the Aztecs believed that it was Quetzalcoatl who jumped into the fire to become the sun, rather than Nanahuatzin. There were also legends that Quetzalcoatl left the Toltec to sail across the sea and that he would return in year one reed, which, by some incredible coincidence, happened to be 1519, the year Cortes landed. The Toltec Empire was short-lived, fading away around the year 1100. It is suspected that this was due to changing climatic conditions, which resulted in a prolonged drought, a problem compounded by the arrival of the Chichimeca, a semi-barbarian group who ravaged the region. This resulted in 2 centuries of conflict in the Mexican basin, and such garbled oral traditions that it is impossible to work out anything from these years. The end result was, in 1345, a small group would found a village in a swamp, in an out-of-the-way bit of the Mexican basin. The village was Tenochtitlan, and these people were the Aztecs. This is where we're going to leave the episode for this week. Since this is a membership episode, I won't bother you with all the plugs, but know that if you want to get in touch to ask a question about what we've talked about today, then please do. Now that we have a basic idea of pre-Columbian civilization, we can get more into the Aztec story next week. I've hinted at the Aztec origin story, where they migrated from Aztlan to Tenochtitlan, but we will actually go through this next time. Thanks for listening.